Coming up on show 1078, the Porsche Macan EV is coming, and it's going to have Taycan beating range. Stick around, I got all the details today. Also on the show, we have a look back at Mr. Musk's TV appearance over the weekend, and who was advertising in the ad breaks? Well, not Tesla, but plenty of others. Got big investments in Spain into EVs, and we find out more about the Rivian R1T. That is the truck, and how much space that it actually has. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for what happened on Monday, 10th of May. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. All right, we'll kick off with the news about a little review of Elon Musk appearing on the television program Saturday Night Live over the weekend. Well, he obviously got a lot of the headlines for his appearance and the general comments that he was making about Tesla and SpaceX. However, the competitors to Tesla were advertising in the ad breaks. The Verge says every other EV brand showed up to his appearance. Well, not quite every other brand, I would say, but there was plenty of room in the ad breaks for the Audi e-tron, the Mustang Mach-E from Ford, the Volkswagen ID4, even the Lucid Air. Not even their cars are driving around yet, but they were advertising their cars in the ad breaks. Lucid Motors founded, of course, one of the founder members, Peter Rawlinson, former head engineer of the Model S program at Tesla, somebody who The Verge says frequently clashes with Elon Musk. I'm not sure I've ever seen him fire too many shots back at Elon. He tends to be pretty pragmatic about the whole thing, doesn't really engage in combat. These days, Elon Musk is busy tweeting some revisionist history denying his role on the Model S. I don't know, maybe Tesla are worried about the Lucid. I don't know, we'll wait and see. Looks like a compelling car, but as always, little disclaimer, I try and limit how much I talk about cars that aren't actually available yet. So we'll wait and see when that car goes on sale. Of course, the Lucid is delayed. And the debut commercial for the Lucid Air was over the weekend in Saturday Night Live. The 500-mile EV is due later this year. It was going to be out by now, but it's not. But hey, not the first EV to be delayed, and they won't be the last. Also, Elon Musk might be getting a windfall of publicity through the opportunity of hosting SNL, but one of his competitors is using the event to launch their own messaging, says the industry publication Adweek. They're called Sierra Space, a spin-off of the aerospace firm Sierra Nevada, and they've been purchasing digital pre-roll ads on anything on YouTube containing Elon's appearance or even Elon Musk himself to advertise against SpaceX. So he did all the work, the others were spending the money. You decide who got the best deal out of that. Next, we will talk about, look, overall, it raises the profile of EVs, doesn't it? People talk about electric cars. Does his appearance on Saturday Night Live help or hinder the move to EVs? You know, it's always a debate I'm interested to have. You know, I talk to people who think he's a bit of a joke, a bit of a clown, that, you know, they don't really take an interest in it, but they see the mainstream media headlines, you know, crazy billionaire, rocket man, Elon Musk does this. And, you know, my friends who aren't really into EVs kind of have that opinion of him, largely crafted by those media publications they read online. But, you know, plenty of people will obviously, you know, disagree with that. So I wonder what his appearance will have done to the general perception of who's making electric vehicles. Look, he didn't fluff up. He didn't do anything outrageous. It wasn't like, you know, smoking on Joe Rogan, although that is just the Joe Rogan podcast. You know, we didn't get the attention that this got. So I don't think that, you know, he acquitted himself pretty well by the look of it. I haven't seen it, but I've just read all the commentary about it. And so I kind of got my impression of his appearance from reading everyone else's reviews. And they were largely from, you know, from neutral to very positive, saying, yep, acquitted himself well, pretty funny, got away with it, no disasters. Let's move on. Hyundai's IONIQ electric hatchback has got some pricing here in the UK. Don't know how it's faring where you're listening around the world, but here it starts at £37,000. It's all right, but it puts it cheaper than any Tesla you can buy. Puts it in Volkswagen ID4 territory. And that's actually a really competitive price at the start of that model lineup. The IONIQ 5, starting at 37 grand, goes on sale later this year. Two battery sizes, of course, rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, and three trim levels. There is going to be a launch trim, like a Project 45 trim, but that'll sell out. It says motor1.com. The mechanical options are simple. Two battery sizes, 58 or 74 kilowatt hours, and either all-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive. So if you go for the small battery, rear-wheel drive, you'll be doing 240 miles of range. Still plenty for many people, by the way. And, digression, because the damn thing charges so fast, if infrastructure is there, big if, of course, if infrastructure is there, it's the car I'd have. I don't need all-wheel drive because the weather here is bad about 3.5 days of the year. And I don't need to carry around a really heavy battery for the few long journeys that I do. Like, 240 miles is still good. It charges like a beast, this car. Partly due to its 800-volt system, but that's not a magic wand, don't get me wrong. You know, cars with more voltage don't automatically mean they're better than cars with a lower battery pack voltage. But if the infrastructure is there for high-power chargers that can output, you know, around 300 kilowatts of power, then I'd have the small battery one because, you know, 50 weeks of the year I'm not road tripping. And it depends on how many chargers there are, though, of course. Opting for a larger battery pack gets you 300 miles of range. A few miles less if you go all-wheel drive on the big battery pack. 287 miles of range for the high-performance one, which you would say is like all-wheel drive, big battery pack. But taking a look at the specs then, 58 kilowatt-hour battery pack, so small battery, rear-wheel drive, 0 to 62 miles an hour, 0 to 100 kilometers an hour in 8.5 seconds. And again, you know, 8.5 is not fast in EV world, but it's okay. 168 brake horsepower. Go for the big battery, 215 horsepower. Go for the big battery all-wheel drive, and you're getting 300 horsepower. 0 to 62, 5 seconds. That's proper hot hatch territory. Another appealing option is the vehicle-to-load option pack. Now, I didn't know that vehicle-to-load was going to be an option. So, if you're interested, make sure you pay attention to that bit, because I think the vehicle-to-load options are going to be really useful. So that is where you can plug a normal domestic plug socket into either the outside or the inside of the car. Under the inside, it's under the passenger, the rear bench seat, kind of where, you know, underneath your knees, as it were. And you, by the look of it, you've got to option that. So I'll find out the price of that for you, because I think you should get it if you're going to get this car. You can use the car's battery to power electric devices. You could even run your home in an emergency if you just want to keep the freezer on so you didn't lose a freezer full of food. I guess it'll output 3.6 kilowatts of power. I think the party trick of this car, the IONIQ 5 and the Kia EV6, is still the charging time. 10 to 80% in 18 minutes. It's bonkers when you think about it. You can add 100 Ks of range, that's 62 miles of range, in 5 minutes. Brilliant. All right, moving on. Spain is moving aggressively to land new battery and EV plants using billions of European Union relief funds after the pandemic. And they would only be left behind in the world of EVs as the global auto sector undertakes the biggest transformation in its history, says the website Autoblog. As Europe's second largest car-producing nation behind Germany, and with the automotive sector accounting for 10% of its economy, Spain has a lot to lose as automakers overhaul supply chains and start making EVs. Germany and the number three European producer, France, are pouring a load of money into battery plants supporting national champion automakers, both Volkswagen and Renault, investing heavily in EVs on home turf. Of the 70 billion euros being dished out from Brussels in the form of grants to Spain, the government in Spain spending 13 billion on sustainable transport in the next 2 years alone, and EVs, incentives, money off the cars, infrastructure, that's great, because so many countries will, you know, you'll get the press release come out of the Department of so-and-so, we're going to be a world leader in this and we're putting 100 million into it. And you're like, that doesn't touch the sides. 13 billion euros from Spain to invest in their EV plans over the next 2 years. Really sensible amount of money. My Spanish listeners, you should be very happy. In fact, European listeners that want to do road tripping, you should be very happy. Next, we'll talk about the Porsche Macan EV arriving with more range than the Taycan. Porsche's best-selling model will have an electric version arriving in 2023, and the company is currently testing prototypes. It'll ride on a new platform and have more range than the Taycan, its sedan sister, says car and driver, the all-electric Macan built on VW Group's new PPE, that is premium platform electric for their performance cars. Future Audis and Porsches using this platform, the EV, the Macan EV, borrowing the Taycan's underpinnings. So again, 800 volts, charging at 270 kilowatts, which is crazy fast. And like the Taycan, Porsche planning on bringing the electric Macan with two battery sizes. Now, given that pretty much everyone in the US specs the big battery size, I would think that in the US, they'll only sell it, or dealers will only want to buy it on your behalf with the larger battery size, and that makes a whole lot of sense. Porsche planning to release the Macan EV with significantly more range than the Taycan, which is interesting because it'll be a bigger car. So I wonder what they're doing with efficiency or learning more about EVs, and it means it should boast certainly more than 227 miles, which is the EPA estimated range, but the real world range of the Taycan. Plenty of people I know testing EVs have been heading towards 300 miles with the real world range. So we'll wait and see. With the Porsche Macan electric, 2023 model year is the target, and that is going to be a fabulously popular car if they get it right. Now, a little mention here in Europe, the all-electric Taycan, the new registrations in Germany, so home market, are ahead of the Cayenne. Nice little fact for you there. Back in April, it was only second in April to the 911. So, Porsche selling a lot of 911s, a lot of Taycans, and the Taycan beating everything else, like the Macan, the Cayenne, in the month of April. Careful with single months, of course. Just, you know, worthy of me mentioning it. Next, Rivian have been telling us more about the size of the R1T and where you can store stuff as well. Rivian says it had the challenge of giving buyers enough room to seat five people and also for all their stuff, because we all come with so much stuff these days, but also making a truck that fits in your garage. Landing a little smaller than the F-150 and the Silverado, combined with better packaging, it's a pure EV, gives the result they want, says Clean Technica. On the frunk, the company says it fits half a dozen full grocery bags, two full-sized coolers. They put a picture of a duffel bag and other stuff in there as well. It's a big area, right? In the front of the Rivian. It's got LED lighting and 12-volt outlets and a cargo net. There's a gear tunnel that sits behind the cab and below the bed. Rivian putting a spot for gear in here. It opens up both ends, so you can kind of crawl through it in one side, out the other side. Anything long that you would take outdoors. 65 inches long, 5.5 feet, 1.6 meters, and whatever you want to put in there. Fishing rods, guns, I don't know. On the bed, measurements from the cab to the back of the tailgate down are 7 feet. The width is 50 inches. Not a problem. It's good sizes. Not going to be a full-size bed, of course, but that's fine. You're not going to be using this too much for work, I wouldn't think, at least. With the tailgate closed, you get obviously the same width, but 54 inches of length. Still almost 5 feet. Bikes, gear, camping stuff, outdoors, weekend adventuring, a trip to the beach, whatever, it's going to just swallow all of your gear. There are two 15-amp, 120-volt outlets in the back as well, an air compressor. And the more I see of it, the more I really, really, really would love to try one. Of course, we don't have truck culture over here, so I was more interested in the R1S, the SUV. But the more you see about the R1T, and of course we have a little, you know, we have a baby now, so thinking about, obviously, he comes with a lot of stuff already, but thinking about how he's going to be growing up and you know, we live next to the beach, and so, you know, we're forever hoovering sand out. We've got hard floors downstairs, but we're always sweeping up sand and stuff when we get back. So we live an outdoorsy-ish lifestyle. Don't get me wrong, we're not camping every weekend, but the more that I think about how it would fit into my life, having a reasonably sized truck, I'm not I'm not averse to the idea of a fully electric one that's very, very practical like this. Like I say, we don't have truck culture. They're not going to make right-hand drive versions for us for a really long time, so I should just not get excited about it. But I can't wait to hear from my listeners who are going to be driving one. Next, we'll finish off with an article called Big Auto is using the oldest trick in its playbook to steal from Tesla. Oof! Let me tell you about it. Business Insider have done a bit of a deep dive into Tesla's predicament right now, and the pros and cons of where they are right now. They say they have insanely high brand loyalty and also massive appeal to people who haven't gone electric yet. Right now, it's all the job of Big Auto to do to convince their customers that they should buy an EV. So, Ford, full on. You should buy a Mustang Mach-E, your Cadillac Lyriq, the GM saying you should buy the all-electric Hummer rather than the Model Y, rather than the Model 3 or the X or the S, as Business Insider. However, the EV market isn't sitting still. It's 2% of sales in the US, but growing rapidly, and it's going to cannibalize the gas market as the EV market gets bigger. Largely, you could say, take a million piston cars off the road and put a million EVs on the road. Of course, people will be getting their second, third EV and trading EV for EV. But, you know what I'm saying with that. The article is basically saying that Tesla, whilst they've had an early advantage, that early advantage can actually be a bit of a poison chalice because now they have to fight a two-front war. They've got to defend their position. They're no longer the plucky startup. Tesla is no longer Lucid or Rivian, right? Tesla is now ignoring market capitalization because, they are, by that metric, the biggest car company in the world. But they are certainly this year heading towards between 800 and 1,000 and a million cars being made. They're a big car company now. And so they're no longer the plucky startup. They've got to defend. But also, Tesla still have to capture market share aggressively. Their job isn't done. So that's the challenge. Interesting. I find stuff like that very interesting because it's all about raising the tide. Ultimately, we're talking about more EVs being on the roads. I'm not bothered about who wins. I want to see more electric cars and great ones as well. So I'll pop a link to the show notes if you want to read more. Hey, question of the week right now with emobilitynorway.com. A recent survey, which, look, I disagree with it, but anyway, a recent survey claimed 1 in 5 EV owners have gone back to combustion power. Nonsense. However, I've never heard anything like it. I don't see any other stat. This was done in California and claiming that 20% of EV drivers are unhappy and go back to petrol and diesel. I don't believe that. Would you ever go back? That's the question. If you're an EV owner, would you go back to petrol or diesel? If you're not an EV owner yet and you consider yourself a future EV owner, can you see yourself going back at some point? Yes or no? Tell me why. And email me your thoughts. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thank you so much to everyone that supports me on Patreon. You can, if you want to, have a look at that. This podcast is ad-free, and I've kept it ad-free for as long as I possibly can. Of course, COVID has hit, and sometimes I need to maybe look at some different ways of the podcast paying its way. So if we ever do have adverts on the podcast, you can be guaranteed that the Patreon feed will be absolutely ad-free. And you can jump on that now, patreon.com/evnewsdaily. Premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com. Derek Riley, check out his YouTube channel. It's called the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and it's brilliant. Richard is buying and selling EVs in the UK. And if you want to have a chat to him, he'd love to hear from you. rsev.co.uk and also emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.